Yes, I'd like to welcome you to the next episode of Crosscut Maker Podcast. And it has been several months since I've done a podcast. I think it was early March, and we're in early June now. And as I've been saying over time, that the podcast, I'm not sure how many I'll do or if I'll do another one. I just kind of do them when I believe there's enough information to mention there. But mostly I'm doing the end of the age ministry, end of the age indicators ministry on social media at Crosscut Maker. You can find me on almost any platform, Twitter, Instagram, and I just kind of do statements every week. And then I have the website of eoa-ind.com. So that's where I do 99% of the personal ministry that I have when it regards to the end of the age indicators. But I do try and do these podcasts every now and then, and infrequently, less frequently as I was before. But I just wanted to do a brief update since it had been a couple months. And the main things that are, you know, everything's still developing. I'm still very, very, very convinced that we are approaching the tribulation period and that God is, in fact, setting the stage for the tribulation period. And the big things that have been going on since the last time we, last time I had a podcast is, first off, the inflation has really, gone absolutely incredibly bonkers, and including gas prices. I never thought I'd, every day I see a new gas price I've never seen before. The highest I've seen is $4.99. I know it's worse other places. And that's just on top of inflation for every other thing as well. And, you know, they're saying that in the fall, so late summer, fall, we could have a really significant food shortage and other things get worse due to, of course, still remnants of what happened with COVID and then the Ukraine-Russian war, and just all the supply chains are messed up, and obviously the Russian oil situation has affected everything. And so the inflation, you know, there have been many things that God has, I think, given us a taste of that will actually go full blown in the tribulation period. And this is another one of those things. As we know in the, I believe it is the, let's get up real quick. Revelation chapter 6 in the third seal that is dealing with famine. A massive worldwide famine. And so we can kind of get a foretaste of that now, even though where I live, we don't have food shortages yet. We do have, you know, every now and then I'll go in there and try and look for something and they won't have it. But that's not what I would call famine or anything like that, like many people are suffering throughout the world. And so it's, again, just more of, in my opinion, a gracious warning sign that of things to come with regards to the famine and the inflation. And there's no indication that's going to get any better. So again, I think God is easing us towards the tribulation period in many ways in warning people. Also, the Iran situation, the JCPOA, it looks like it officially has fallen apart and there's not going to be an agreement, which is significant in a couple ways, in my opinion, when it comes to eschatology. Is the United States, the way I view the alliances of the nations in the tribulation period, the United States, I did not see them as being allied in any sense with Iran. But they would, the United States will be part of the Western coalition of the Antichrist, who sides with Israel initially in the first half of the tribulation period. And so you see those alliances kind of shaping place now, and also Saudi Arabia, there's more talks that, you know, there's really a significant chance that they will be joining the Abraham Accords. And they do also, or they are mentioned in Ezekiel 38:39 as to not directly getting involved in defending Israel when that invasion occurs, but they are questioning it as if to say they are not aggressive towards Israel during the tribulation period. So you see that alliance shaping, taking place. And also Sudan, when they joined the Abraham Accords a year or two ago, there was a lot of, you know, that kind of was surprising with eschatology students, because they are part of the coalition that comes with Russia, Iran, Turkey, Libya, other nations at the in the invasion. So they will be aggressive towards Israel. And now that evidently with the coup that happened there, that pretty much the Abraham Accord agreement with Israel is going to fall apart, if it hasn't already. The United States is telling Israel to withdraw from that because of that coup that is happening. So that's another alliance that is taking shape that will fit the end times, the scenario. And also with Iran, there's a couple of very significant things that could happen immediately in the very near future that would really change the world again, you know, as if COVID didn't, as if all the riots didn't, as if all the economic woes didn't, as if the Russian invasion of Ukraine didn't. There's always something next. And that would be if Israel had to attack Iran in a significant way. And they have stated from the beginning that they are not going to allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. And once they're convinced that JCPOA has officially fallen apart, then the only option there really is a military option. So whether they do something directly, like an assault, they've been doing training missions, that it appears that that's certainly an option, or whether they're just, you know, trying to warn and have that be a deterrent. You know, it seems like in the next several months, at least, that if they become convinced that there is no other way, that they will attack Iran. And that will cause a response from Hezbollah in the north, and obviously Hamas in the West Bank, and Hamas from the south, and the Houthis from the southeast. And so there'd just be a response to that. It's really more of the response, which would cause a regional war there, which is why Israel probably doesn't want to do this. They would hope that this could be resolved diplomatically, where Iran does not get a nuclear weapon, but it appears that they've already gotten to the point where they're really, really close to having enough to make the first bomb. And Israel have said they will not let that happen. So that would be a significant world-altering event. Now, you know, with Iran, they come in the Ezekiel 38-39 invasion, and I believe that's in the tribulation period. So it's not going to be a full-blown war between Israel and Iran, where either one of them would get wiped out. Obviously, Israel will never be wiped out, but... And so it would be, Iran is there in the tribulation period. So, you know, I don't think it'll be a major conflict, but it'd be enough to where it could cause a lot of regional activity. Certainly would be, it would cause significant things to go on there locally. And so that would be one of the things that could come up in the very near future that would be world changing. Another, obviously, is if you've been paying attention, China is looking like they're very serious about invading Taiwan. And they're doing the kind of the same buildup that Russia did to Ukraine. Now, before Russia invaded Ukraine, you know, my thought was they're not going to do it. They're just trying to get something through negotiations, make it look like they're going to do something. And then, of course, they did it. And that kind of changed the way everything is happening in the world now. So I think China sees what's going on, and they think, okay, this is a good time to do something that we weren't able to do before. But they're training like they're going to invade Taiwan. And that would be a very significant event. Now, the United States is already giving them arms, kind of like they're doing with Ukraine, to prepare them for a potential invasion there. And, of course, a week or two ago, Biden, you know, being Biden, probably went off script and said something that he said that he would actually send, that the United States would get involved militarily, troops, if China invaded Taiwan. No, but his administration immediately, whoa, didn't mean this, didn't mean that, kind of cleaned up his mess there. So I don't think the United States has any desire to actually send troops there, but it would be another conflict on the globe that would affect economies, affect oil flows, affect, you know, just kind of multiply what's going on with Russia in Ukraine right now. And again, that fits into the wars, rumors of wars situation in Matthew 24. Just another war, there's more rumors of war with Iran by Israel, and these things are, but both of those situations could actually initiate in the very near future. Again, that affects everybody, economically mainly, and of course militarily at these locations. And so that would be something that would be significant to watch. still have all the tussle in Israel on the Temple Mount. Ramadan occurred, and there was, you know, the flare-ups. Now, it didn't end up in a rocket war, like 11-day war like it did last year at that time, but it was still significant enough. And there have been terrorist attacks, and just all kinds of conflicts in Israel, in Jerusalem, and on the Temple Mount. That's the focal point of everything. And of course, we know that'll be the focal point of everything in the tribulation period. There will be a new temple, and the Antichrist will sit in that temple. And so one of the major indicators of the tribulation period is interest in the third temple. Now, one potential thing that could occur is, I think Israel is fed up with this, with just every year or every Islamic holy day, quote unquote, that they know that there's going to be violence and riots on the Temple Mount, and they have to respond, and then there's, you know, they could be escalated. So I have heard talk that they're just tired of it to the point where they just want to take complete control of the Temple Mount and make a significant change in what is called the status quo there, where Jews are allowed on the Temple Mount, but they're not allowed to pray. Only Islam or Muslims are allowed to pray. So that's kind of the status quo. And anytime anybody even thinks the status quo is going to change, everybody goes crazy. But I think Israel is to the point where they're just flat out tired of having to deal with these riots every year, at least every year, more than once a year. And then that could work towards the coming of the third temple. Now, they're ready to build it. They've actually had some stones being prepared recently, and there's other things. And I think they are full-blown eager and ready to build it. What they need is the political agreement or political permission to do it. And I've always said, and I believe, that will be part of the tribulation agreement. That will be one of the big carrots that Israel gets to enter into this agreement, is they'll get their third temple back. Now, how that fits in, whether the Al-Aqsa Mosque will be destroyed or whether it just sits right next to it, hard to know. I do think Judaism could potentially be, likely will be, rolled into the one world religion of the first half of the tribulation period. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if they just built the third temple next to it. But time will tell on that. A lot of that determines where you time out these other wars, like the Ezekiel 38-39 war. And so that's been going on nonstop. And so there is this just, and Biden will be going to Israel at the end of this month, in June of 22. And he's also going to visit, he's going to go to the east, or one of the side of Jerusalem, Eastern Jerusalem, that is Palestinian, quote unquote, and without Israel, without anybody from the Israel military, anybody defending, you know, taking care of them there. And that caught a lot of attention, where it basically would be recognizing a section of Jerusalem as Palestinian. And of course, it's Jerusalem is all Israel's, politically even right now. But of course, we know scripturally that Israel doesn't even have even close to the land that they will have when Christ returns. And so there'll be a lot of interesting things happen at the end of this month when he goes over there, to see exactly how that develops and goes forward. That, you know, dealing with the Iran issue, dealing with the Palestinian issue, dealing with all the unrest over there. So there's a whole lot that could develop in this month that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. And so I'm trying to think, is there anything else, you know, just the things that have been going on. The World Economic Forum met, and they're just spouting the same global ambitions that they have been for years. And I do believe that the United Nations and the World Economic Forum will play a very significant role in building the Beast Empire. And it will be a focused, and it will be a Western empire. And so how NATO, how the United Nations, how the World Economic Forum, how all of these things and the individual nations that are part of those shape into this Western coalition that will begin with 10, whether it be 10 nations or just 10 leaders of more than 10 nations or 10 territories, it's hard to know exactly. 10 kings, you know, 10 people. But whether that would be 10, you know, there's multiple candidates there. But I do believe the United States will be part of that coalition, and Europe will be part of that coalition. I think Canada will be part of that coalition. I think Australia will be part of that coalition. And so it'll be a Western coalition that starts with 10, and I do not believe the Antichrist will be one of the original 10, but very quickly he rises up and takes out 3, and then the rest surrender to him, and that all happens very quickly. So you see all this building, you see this coming together all at the same time. And so we just keep watching, we keep praying, we keep thanking the Lord, we keep serving the Lord, we keep evangelizing, we keep warning, and just remember that our focus and our heart cannot be in this world, especially right now, because this world is crumbling right before our very eyes, and that is prophesied about, and it will happen. If these are birth pangs, and they almost certainly are, these things are just going to keep going forward. So for the Christian, it ought to be a time to cut cord with the world even more and to really focus our life on sharing Christ with those around us, those who we know who are not Christians right now, and any other fashion, social media, anywhere else that you can, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the best time of all to do that. It's always a good time, but this is, you know, a lot of young people think they have a lot of time, and if God is setting the stage for the tribulation period, then there is less time than people think. So this is, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I forgot, because I wanted this to be brief, and like I said, I may do just a brief podcast update in once a month, or maybe whenever, if something significant happens. But I won't be doing the hour-long podcast like I was doing. And you know, there's a couple, there was talk about bird flu breakout affecting chickens and food supply. Of course, the monkeypox, you've probably heard about that. I don't think that'll become a global difficulty, because it's just not very spreadable, and there's been certain COVID resurgences, and now who knows if that'll come back or not. And yeah, when Finland and I forgot the other country, that I think it was Switzerland, wants to join NATO. There's two nations that want to join NATO, and Turkey has, for the moment, opposed it, and all of the nations have to be completely in favor of nations joining. And that makes kind of sense, because Turkey will be with Russia. They will not be part of that Western alliance ultimately in the tribulation period. And so just to see Turkey buck back a little bit there is not surprising. So yeah, I covered the inflation, the wars, rumors of wars, and everything else. And then again, here's what I'll say, is that the last birth pang will be, all of these things are building towards the tribulation period. You can see them specifically setting the stage for what happens in the tribulation period. You cannot see the rapture or the day of the rapture. That's a signless event. There's no signs building up to it. But what you can see is the building up to what happens after that. And so, and I do think, and I say this all the time, is that God will change everything. He is the one who is providentially orchestrating this build up to the tribulation period. Not men, not ultimately. Men think, these globalists think they're about to get their dream come true. And they are, for a brief amount of time. They will get what they want. But they think, they're actually just fulfilling God's purposes. Even though their intentions are different, they're fulfilling God's purposes, setting the stage for the 70th week of Daniel, where God purges and chastens Israel to their believing remnant and sets up the return of Christ. So he is in control providentially, but also I believe he will get supernaturally involved before the tribulation period when he removes his church. And that will accelerate everything to, I think, like I said, all these things are providentially working towards what needs to happen, and then all of a sudden, boom, the rapture occurs, throws the world into complete chaos, and everything is tied up into the tribulation period. So he's the one in control, and he's the one who will change everything to bring it about on his accord, his appropriate time. So I always close these podcasts with a 30-second biblical gospel presentation. One day we will all face the one true and living God. You need to have your sins forgiven and be reconciled to him before that occurs. In God's great love, he has mercifully made a way. And that only happens biblically by repentance. That is humbling yourself and confessing your sinfulness and hopelessness from your heart to God. And faith, believing the gospel. That is who Jesus Christ is. The gospel is the person and work of Jesus Christ. The person is, he's truly man and the one true God, and trusting only in his redemptive work. And that is his perfect sinless life, death on a cross for the sins of sinners, and resurrection for your salvation. So you believe who he is and you trust in what he's done for your salvation. If you genuinely do this, you will be instantly and permanently covered by the righteousness of Christ, and he will have been treated as if he committed all of your past, present, and future sins. Even better, this would begin a relationship with your Creator. Salvation is about, ultimately, primarily about the forgiveness of sins to the one true and living Holy God. So you're forgiven and reconciled to him. And that is the most important, really, is you don't want to be judged according to your sins, because that ends in eternal condemnation. But also, a lot of times we forget, you know, to proclaim in the gospel that really the top thing to becoming a Christian and becoming forgiven and reconciled is a relationship with God himself. That change, you know, that change, that is the most glorious thing about salvation. But ultimately, in order to have that relationship with him, you first have to be forgiven and reconciled. If you refuse the offer of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will be judged according to your works. And unless you have sinned without even one, unless you have lived without even one sin like Christ, will end in eternal conscious condemnation. And this is also why you don't want to add any of your merit to your to salvation. A lot of people don't understand, you know, really needs to be clarified and taught, is that God requires perfect righteousness. That's why any religion where you do something in your salvation, your relationship with the Lord is dependent upon what you do, will always fail, because you are not perfectly sinless. Hence the reason for Christ to come, live sinlessly, die on a cross for sinners, and be raised from the dead, that you trust completely in his work, because his work actually was perfect. He never sinned in thought, word, or deed one time, which is staggering to think about. So the eternal Son of God added a human nature. He became a man without affecting his deity, lived without sin at all, ever, as a baby, toddler, young man, all the way up to when he was a full-grown man, never sinned one time. That's staggering to think about. And then he died on the cross for the sins of sinners, and he's raised from the dead. And he's ascended to the right hand of God the Father, and he will return again. And so there's where the issue is why you need Christ, is because even if theoretically you've only sinned once, you would be damned to hell. Of course, it's laughable to think anybody has not sinned more than once in the last minute. Is ridiculous, especially an unbeliever. You're denying God the entire time. So it's all, you're just in a constant state of sin. So that's why you need Christ. That's why you need to repent and believe in him. You need the brokenness of him. You need to know you need him, and then you need to believe in him. And that's how you become a Christian. And so I hope this has been helpful. Like I said, I don't know when I'll do the next one or if I'll do the next one, but I'll try and do maybe a brief 20-minute update every now and then, or if something significant happens, or maybe the Lord will take his church before I get a chance to make the next one. But thank you again for joining me, and may God and Christ be praised.